Today's daf is Kaf Aleph. We're going to continue along this issue of what we're allowed to sell or not sell to non-Jews or rent. We're going to talk about land, and we're going to go off on a whole, go in depth a little bit into this issue about selling property to non-Jews or renting property, etc. So the Mishnah at the bottom of Kaf Amud Bet says, Emas kirin lehem batim be'eretz Yisrael. Ve'ein tzarich lomar sadot. We can't rent non-Jews houses in Eretz Israel, and of course not fields. Obviously to us this isn't so obvious why of course not fields, but the Gemara will explain. Ubisuria, okay, in Syria. Now what's Syria? According to the Gemara, Syria is basically probably most of Lebanon and Syria of today. It was the area north of Israel, obviously, which David HaMelech conquered. And this is considered kibush yachid, even though David HaMelech was king. They still call it kibush yachid because it wasn't part of Eretz Israel that was, you know, determined as the borders. It wasn't the part that Yoshua conquered. Some people say he actually conquered it for purposes of tax purposes, taxing the people and things like that, but he never actually intended for it to become part of Israel proper. It's unclear exactly why it's called kibush yachid, because obviously David HaMelech wasn't a yachid, he was a king. But it's considered kibush yachid. It has a different status. And its status is a little bit in between. Because number one, it was conquered by David. Number two, its proximity to Eretz Yisrael gives it a certain status, as opposed to Chutz Laaretz, which is already much farther away. So let's just go through levels. In Israel, we started off with, we can't rent. Again, this is just Tanakhama. We're going to see a second opinion soon. We can't rent them houses, and obviously not fields. And clearly, we can't sell them. Okay, that's obvious. Ubisuria, right, this is the same thing, by the way, as we saw before, that you can't rent the animal because you might come to, oh no, there you can't sell because you might come to rent. It's actually the opposite. Okay, so here we can't rent. Rashi says it's gzeira mishum mechira, okay? And he says, why is it, right, it's the opposite. I was thinking it was the same idea, but it's the opposite. Before we said we can't sell animals because you might come to rent them. And renting would be a problem because people would see your animal with a non-Jew and think that your animal was working on Shabbat. Here it's the opposite. It's dafka, the selling, that's the most problematic. And that's because of what we saw before. Lo tichanem, shelo titein lehem chaneya bekarka. That was at the very top of Kaf Amud Aleph, that you can't give them any sort of permanence in the land. We're going to talk exactly about this, where this comes from. So renting is gzera mishum mechira. And renting of houses, and also, as the first opinion was in Eretz Yisrael, even fields, all the more so fields, are problematic. Ubisuria, maskirin lehem batim avalos sadot. Okay, so since the sadot, the din is more chamor, therefore, when we get to Suria, we're already a little once removed, we're going to rent them houses, but not fields. Ubichutz laaretz, mochrim lehem batim. Not only can we rent, but we can also sell houses. Umaskirim sadot. And right, the sadot, which are on a more severe level, we're going to be allowed to rent, but not allowed to sell. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is all Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi is going to be mekel more, though. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and he's going to go down a level, okay? Be'eretz Yisrael maskirim lehem batim avalo sadot. Okay, what we said about Rabbi Meir said about Syria, he says about Eretz Yisrael. We can rent them houses, because there we don't need to be gozer that they'll sell houses. But we can't rent fields, because it's much more severe to sell a field, and therefore, we also can't rent them fields. Ubisuria, mochrim batim umaskirim sadot. Okay, so now we get to, all of a sudden, you can sell. You can sell houses in Syria, but you can rent fields. Okay, so everything is one level down. Ubichutz laaretz, mochrim elu ve'elu. In Eretz Yisrael, you could sell anything you want. Now the Mishnah says, "Af b'makom sh'amru lahaskir," even in a place where they said you can rent. Oh, wait a minute! Lo lebeit dira amru. We saw this before. You can't rent it as a house and as a place where they're going to live. Mipnei shu machnis l'techo avodat kochavim shne'amar lo tavito ava el beitecha. Okay, so what did we say? We learned this already. Because of the isur that you can't have a toeva in your house. Therefore, when you rent property, in any situation where renting would be allowed, you can't rent them places for housing. You can only rent them storage places or things like that because they will bring their psalim into your house, and that's an esther d'oraita, lo tavito aval beitecha. We had a whole thing there about, well, we're more machmir when it comes to avodah zarah because normally if somebody rents it, it's considered their own property while they're renting it. But we said for the purposes of this esther of avodah zarah, we're more machmir. That's what we brought this in last time, trying to say, is a rental considered owned by the person who's renting it or not? But no matter what, you can't loan him. And now we're getting into a different issue. This is an issue of Shabbat. If this goes back to the issue with the animals. With the animals, we saw if you rented the animal, the person will be using your animal on Shabbat. People say, oh, that person's animal is working. So if you rent them a bathhouse, you can't do that because it's considered, if you own the bathhouse, everybody knows it's so-and-so's bathhouse. And if you rent it out to a non-Jew, people will see the bathhouse working on Shabbat, and they'll say, oh, look, that Jew is benefiting from halacha on Shabbat, even though it's not his, but people will think that it's his. Okay, we're going to get into all these things in the Gemara. So the first thing we have to address is, why is it all the more so sadot? Why are sadot much more chamor? My ein sarich lamar sadot. Okay, maybe because there's two things. Chada, chanayat karka. One, because you're giving them a hold on the land. V'chada dekamaf kalemi maser. Because you're taking property, right? It's a field, and the field, all the stuff in the field, was chayiv and trumot maser. It has kedushat ha'aretz. And you're basically removing the chiyuv, right, the kedushat ha'aretz from, you know, the kedushat ha'aretz is still there, but now none of the fruits and vegetables are going to go to the Leviim, the Kohanim, etc. And this is a problem. First of all, you're causing a loss for the Leviim. Okay, it's not fair to them. And also, you're basically taking land that was kedushat ha'aretz and you're letting people work it without giving the trumot ha'masra. If you want to say it's a numbers game, right? That has two things working against it. Ihachi batim nami, ikatarte. Also batim have two. Chada chanayat karka, v'chada dekamaf kelami mezuzah. If you're going to talk about kedushat ha'aretz, so let's talk about, right? Now there's not going to be a mezuzah in the house. Okay, that's also a problem. So Amar Rav Masharshia, he distinguishes between mezuzah and kedushat ha'aretz. Mezuzah chovat hadarhu. A mezuzah, and this is a very important thing, that's koveh halacha, right? If you rent a house here, or rent an apartment, and there's no mezuzot, it's not the responsibility of the owner, it's your own personal responsibility. You can't say, oh, well, I don't own the house, so I don't have to put up mezuzot. No, in fact, it's the chovat hadar, it's the person who lives there, and therefore, there's no inherent kedusha on the doorpost, like there is on the land. The kedusha is in who's living there. So if you would rent the house out to a non-Jew, so they wouldn't be responsible for mezuzah. It's not such a big deal. Whereas Truman and Masrot are chovat of the karka. So because of that, it's a problem. So that's how we explain why it's always going to be more chamor, the field rather than the house, because of this kedusha ha'aretz. Besuria maskirim batim. So, maishna mechira. So, what do we say? Maskirim batim, right? But not sadot. Okay, that was the opinion here. We can rent them houses. So, why can we rent them houses? Maishna mechira de lo, mishum mechira de eretz Israel, right? Why can't you sell in Syria? Because we want to make a gzera that you, if we allow you to sell houses in Syria, we'll allow you then to sell houses in eretz Israel. We're worried that people will think that it's okay. So therefore, we don't allow selling houses in Syria. Remember how this works. The Ikari Surah is to sell. So to sell, and the Ikari Surah is to sell in Eretz Yisrael from this Lotachanim. So if the Ikari Surah is to sell in Eretz Yisrael, so what do we say? In Eretz Yisrael, we also don't allow you to rent so that you don't come to sell. But in Syria, we allow you to rent houses. So now they're going to say like this. Maishna mechira delo. Why wasn't mechira allowed in Syria? Because it says it only allows you to rent houses, not to sell houses. Mishu mechira de Eretz Yisrael, right? So they made a gzera, don't sell houses in Syria because you might come to sell houses in Eretz Yisrael. Ihachi mischirut nami nigzor, right? We should also say schirut is also a sur because you might come to rent houses in Eretz Yisrael. But obviously, what's going to be the reason? Renting houses in Eretz Yisrael is only asur because you might come to sell the house. So therefore, they say, he guf a gzera. Renting itself is a gzera. Va'ana nikam v'nigzor gzera l'gzera, right? We never make a gzera on a gzera. So the Ikari Surah is Mechira. So from Mechira, we're going to get to... Right, put this up on the board. I'll make it. The Ikari Surah is Mechira in Eretz Israel. So from that, what are we going to say? We're going to be Gozer on Schirut in Eretz Israel. And we're going to be Gozer on Mechira in Syria. But we're not going to be Gozer on Schirut in Syria because that's already a Gzera. Okay? And you know, it's Schirut in Syria because you might come to be Maskir in Eretz Israel. That's already a Gzera. Yeah, sure.
It seems to me that there's so many halachot that are different in Eretz Israel than in Chutz La'aretz. I'm wondering about their reasoning for this.
So I'm a little bit holding off. I want to go through the sugya, and then I'm going to get into... I have an entire page of notes on interesting, like, where this all comes from, what the reason is, and different opinions about it. What are we trying to avoid exactly? I could start here, but I thought maybe we'll read the whole sugya, and then we'll kind of go through the and then we'll discuss. Okay. B'chutz la'aretz... Oh, no, we're back. B'schiru maskirim batim, nigzor zera l'gzera. V'haschirut sadeh... Right, what about schirut sadeh? D'b'suria gzera l'gzera hi, v'kagazrinan. Right, but what did we say? You can't do mechira in Eretz Israel of sadot and of batim. So why in Syria are we gozer on schirut of sadot? Right, b'suria, schirut of sadot is a gzera on a gzera because it's not inherently usher to be maskir a field. It's only usher to buy a field. So basically, you would assume that schirut of sadot in Syria is aser because it's a gzera, that you might come to do schirut of sadot in Eretz Israel, which is a gzera also. So why, if you say we don't do a gzera and a gzera, so why is schirut of sadot in Syria a problem? So what do they say? B'kagazrinan. So hatam lav gzerahu. It's not actually a gzera. Kasavar kibush yachid shmei kibush. It's actually not a gzera because... They hold, and there's a machloket about this, was the kibush of David considered kibush or not? So if you hold that it was considered kibush, okay, so it's part of Eretz Israel. Now, it can't obviously be 100% part of Eretz Israel, because otherwise we would say everything was forbidden like Eretz Israel. So they're going to do this in between. What are they going to say? Sadeh di'ipe tarte, gazru be'rabana, batim de'lepu tarte lo gazru be'rabana. So when it comes to making a gzera in Syria, and as in Eretz Israel, we made a gzera on schirut of everything, because we're in Eretz Israel. Outside of Eretz Israel, Syria, which is this in-between, which is considered kibush yachid, shmei kibush, it's considered kibush, so it's considered Eretz Israel for, I would say, for all intents and purposes, but not really for all intents and purposes, right? It's considered... somewhat considered Eretz Israel, but it's a little bit of a different category. So we're going to make the gzera of schirut, but we're only going to make it on the sadeh when there's two issues, which is both the chanayah b'karka and the kedushat Eretz Israel, rather than on the houses where it's only got one issue of the chanayah b'karka. Okay, now we're going to get to Rabbi Yossi. It's going to be similar. So Rabbi Yossi, remember, was Mekel and everything, like one dargah below. So Rabbi Yossi, and we have Eretz Yisrael, maskirim lahem batim. We can do schirut of houses, but not of fields, which is what Rabbi Meir said about Syria. My taima, sadot b'ipu tarte gazru b'rabanam, batim delepu tarte lo gazru b'rabanam. We're basically going to repeat what Rabbi Meir said in Syria. We're going to repeat what he said there, which is basically we're going to make this gzera only by the sadot, which are more chamor, but we're not going to make it by the houses. Ubisuria mochrim. So now we have to go back. What does he say? Mochrim batim, right? You sell houses, umaskirim sadot, and you can rent fields. My taima. What's the reason why we're mekel here that you can actually buy? Because Kassavar, he holds, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, who held kibush yachid shmei kibush, he holds kibush yachid lo shmei kibush. Right? It's not considered kibush, and therefore, what does he say? Sadeh di butarte gazru b'rabanan. Batim delay butarte lo gazru b'rabanan. He doesn't even think in Syria, michira batim should be exera on Eretz Yisrael, because he views Syria as chutz la'aretz for that. For sadot, which we're more machmir about, because there's two issues, so there we're going to be more machmir, and he's not going to allow it. He's not going to allow buying, but he will allow renting. U'b'chutz la'aretz mochrim. Okay, he says, what does he say? Elu ve'elu, right? You can sell houses and fields. My taima, kevan de merchak, lo gazrinam. Because it's so far away, we don't make a gzera. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Interestingly, like we saw in many of these other situations, we go by the more Meikel Shita here. Okay, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rav Yosef, Ubevad shelo ya'asena shchuna. He says, but under what condition? That you don't turn it into a neighborhood of non-Jews. Okay, so Kama Shchuna is classic Gemara. We have to understand what's considered a Shchuna. Tana, Ein Shchuna, we quote a Braita that says, Ein Shchuna pruta mishlosha b'nei adam. Okay, it means you have to sell three properties to three different people. So then they say, wait, but let's say you sell three properties to one person. According to him, that's not a problem. That's not called a Shchuna because you're only selling to one non-Jew. So they say, "V'lichus dilma azel haYisrael umazben lecharovei kochavim, va'azel hayachu mazben leletrei." But maybe one guy will sell his property to another one, and the other guy might sell his to two. And as if you sell them a few pieces of property, they can sell it to a bunch of people, and they'll turn it into a shchuna. So in other words, by you selling one big piece of land to one non-Jew, might create a situation where there'll be a shchuna of non-Jews because he'll sell it to other people. So Amar Abaye. Right, we're commanded on lifnei iver lo titei michshol, but we're not commanded on lifnei iver, right? That this we used before with the non-Jew, that we're not commanded that if he's going to then cause others to do it. Remember, if we sell to, where do we use this? If we sell to a huge amount of things that one could use for avodah zarah purposes to one person, a non-Jew, we're allowed to do that because we're not worried he's going to use it for avodah zarah purposes. He'll probably just use it to sell to others. But then that's causing the others lifnei iver, but we don't worry about that. So here, some people try to connect this with lifnei iver, but it doesn't really seem, the pshat seems to be here. What he's saying is direct, indirect. This isn't an issue of lifnei iver. The issue here is that you're causing someone to do something, right? It's indirect. It's basically Abaye is using this catchphrase of lifnei delifnei to say it's already indirect and that's allowed. So by you selling to one non-Jew, we're not worried. If he sells it to three non-Jews, that's already indirect. So you'd be indirectly causing a shchuna of Ovdei Kochavim. That we're not going to be concerned for. Okay, before we go on now, we're going to stop here. And, we'll go one more. But actually, I'll stop and say one thing about the shchuna. There's a machloket about this issue of shchuna. Now, they relate this shchuna issue to Rabbi Yossi's psach. The problem is Rabbi Yossi had a psach about a number of places. Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, right? Which comment of his were they referring to? So the Rambam says he's talking about in Israel. That you have to be careful not to make a shchuna of Ovdei Kochavim. But Tosfos says he's dafka talking about not in Israel. And what's the concern? Okay, and this goes back, this goes to the issue which we're going to get into, which is really what are we worrying about? What's the issue? So Tosfos views this as the issue of not selling weapons to non-Jews. Because if you create a shchuna of non-Jews, then you're basically creating a situation where there's Jews living among a large, more of a majority of non-Jews, and that could create a situation of, where they, right, well, no, they're not worried about assimilation. They're worried about danger. It comes up in a lot of sources that there's this concern that it comes up in Eruvim, we've mentioned this before, about, I forget exactly how it is, but a Jew who lives alone in a chatzir with a bunch of non-Jews, like, there's a danger. Okay, there's a real danger. They thought that the non-Jews were going to kill them. So he views it really as an issue of not selling weapons because the non-Jew might kill you. Based on this, the Sefer HaTruma, who's living at the end of the Rishonim time period, says that this all applies obviously only to a Jewish neighborhood, if there's Jews living there. If you have property which is in an all non-Jewish neighborhood, then of course you could sell it to non-Jews because you don't have to worry about a shchuna, because the shchuna is only a concern, right? Once we move this out of Israel, then the issue becomes an issue of fear, of like the non-Jews kind of ganging up on the Jews. So therefore, he minimizes this whole halacha and basically says it only applies if it's in a Jewish neighborhood. Whereas the Rambam views this issue as an issue in Eretz Yisrael, and he would view it as an issue of creating a shchuna of Ovdei Kochavim in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the issue of Lot Panim. We have to get, we can't let them live here, etc., which again, we're going to get into soon. Okay, last part for now. Af b'makom sh'amru lahaskir, even in a place where they allowed lahaskir, the Mishnah said, Lo lebeti ramu, mepneishu machnis letocho avodah kochavim, right? That's what we said in the Mishnah, that when we say we're allowed to rent, that's only to rent non-living quarters. So what can you infer from here? B'makom shamru, right? Af b'makom shamru laskir means what? Nichlal di'ika duchta de lo mogre. From here you can infer that there are places where you're not allowed to write. Ustame ke Rabbi Meir. This line must be only according to Rabbi Meir. Di Rabbi Yossi b'chol duchta mogre. Rabbi Yossi says that any place you can rent. So therefore, what it's this line here is only referring to Rabbi Meir's opinion. Okay. Let's take a break here for a minute, and then we'll get back later at the end to the Beit Merchatz. So what's the exact Isur here? Okay, there's actually a lot of interesting things. Most of what I'm going to say today comes from an article I found in Da'at website that was written by Rabbi Yaakov Harlap. It's called Mechirat Batim V'Karkaot Be'eretz Yisrael L'Nochri. And he basically takes apart the sugya. You can all imagine why this is such a relevant sugya, and people had a lot to do with it, mainly because of selling land in Israel to Palestinians, and, you know, is this allowed or not? So because of that, it is a very hot issue. Okay. So according to our sugya, this all comes from Lo Techanim. What's very interesting is the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch learn this issue of selling, renting land to non-Jews from a different pasuk entirely. From a pasuk in Shemot that says, Lo yeshvu ba'artzecha, pein yachtiu otcha li. Okay? Which has nothing to do with lo techaneim, right? It has to do with, don't let them live here because they'll cause you to sin. Okay? Don't let them live among you. So, and this is, it's from Shemot, Perek Kaf Gimel, pasuk Lame Gimel. Right, and it's what?
Assimilation.
Right, it's like assimilation, exactly, as you mentioned before. So the Rambam, the Rambam, I want to point out, this is the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. When he counts this as a mitzvah, he doesn't count Lo Techaneim as a mitzvah for these purposes. He uses the other drasha, I forget which one he uses, but about, you know, not having pleasant, you know, interactions with them, certain things along there. But he doesn't quote it for this purpose in the Sefer HaMitzvot. So the Rambam and Sefer HaChinuch both say this is forbidden because of pen yachtiyu. But the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah does learn it out from Lo Techaneim. And he distinguishes there between if Yad Goyim is in charge or Yad Yisrael is tkefa. If Yad Yisrael is tkefa, then... If Yad Goyim is tkefa, then it's Lo Techaneim. In other words, then we have to basically have... It's like the Sheva Amim. We came into the land. They were in charge. We have to get rid of them. We can't let them have Achuza on the land. But if Yad Yisrael is tkefa, then we have to worry about the issue. You know, once we enter into the land, then we have to make sure that we don't live among non-Jews and that they influence us negatively. Okay, so that's at least one explanation. Again, the Rambam uses the Lashon there in the Chazakah, like, which shows that. But anyway, that's an issue. Okay, there's another issue that comes up, which is the Yerushalmi says, "Habemakom shenahagu limkor lo, mocher lo afilu beit dira," which sounds like it stands in opposition to what our Gemara said. Right? Our Gemara said you can't have a beit dira, and the Yerushalmi says you can sell a beit dira. Okay, so there's a big debate about how to understand this Yerushalmi. One way to understand the Yerushalmi is he's talking about Chutz La'aretz. He's not talking about Eretz Yisrael. In other words, what's right again? The difference Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz is the main thing is this Lo Techaneim. Okay, we get to the land, we have to conquer it entirely, get rid of the Sheva Amim. We're going to get to soon. If it's Lo Techaneim, well, maybe it's only the Sheva Amim and it's not others. We'll talk about that soon. And in Chutz La'aretz, you know, either there's no issue really at all, or there's a minor issue of having non-Jews among us. And being influenced by them. So basically they ask the Yerushalmi, how could you say Shnagulin Kor Mochelo Afilu Beit Dira? It goes against Lo Techaneim. Right? How could you say it? So one answer is he's talking about Chutz La'aretz, the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is regarding Chutz La'aretz where there's no Isra D'oraita because the Isra D'oraita is only in Eretz Yisrael. But there's a few other explanations given. So the Bala Itur and the Sefer the Bala Shlama say that it's based on Minan Kamakom. And that's what you see for the Yerushalmi, that it's all based on Minag HaMakom. And the Bala Itur says, V'chein Amadavar, which is a very important line. This comes up many places, which means, and this is why we see people doing it. And he says, the whole thing is based on Minhag. So how do you relate to Lo Techaneim, right? And it says Lo Techaneim. So you could suggest that according to the Bala Itur, maybe he viewed Lo Techaneim. If you remember, we talked about this yesterday, that generally when they give numerous drashot, right, sometimes it's either or. And then he views Lo Techaneim as the Rambam didn't say for a mitzvah, where he didn't mention this isur in the context of Lo Techaneim. And I guess he wouldn't view Lo Yeshvu Ba'artzecha Pen Yachtiu Otcha Li as an isur d'oraita. And he basically says that it's taloy b'minhag ha-makom. And maybe if there's a concern, yachtiyu otcha, you know, maybe that's the minhag ha-makom. It depends on what non-Jews you're living among and whether they're going to make you sin or not. Are they bad non-Jews, so to speak, or are they not bad non-Jews? So already, because of that, he shows, based on the Yerushalmi, you can say that it's taloy b'minhag and it's not asur midoraita. And that's why he claims v'chein amadavar. And what's influencing him? What's influencing is that he sees that this is something that people are not keeping to. People are selling their property to non-Jews. So how can you possibly explain it? He says it must be. This isn't asur midoraita. Lo tachane means other things. Don't give them gifts. Don't you know, say, oh, you're so beautiful, or compliment them. And that's how he explains the Yerushalmi. And he basically then passes like the Yerushalmi. Often if there's an issue, Bavli Yerushalmi, we hold like a Bavli. But he says the people must be going like the Yerushalmi. The Baal Kaftor Vaperach says that it could be talking with the we were saying, it talks about Makom Shenagulim Korla, you could sell them even a house, is a place where it's all non-Jews living. And then you're not worried about Pen Yachtiyu Otcha. So he says, if it's an Ir Sherubah Yisrael, then, right, he actually gives two options. He says, either it's a place where it's all Akum. Let's say you have land, and you know, as we know, neighborhoods change very often, and the population changes, and all of a sudden you end up with this property that's smack in the middle of a non-Jewish community. So he says, of course you can sell that to a non-Jew, right? You're not going to want to sell it to a Jew. That's, you know, dangerous. Like, why would you want to do that? That's the case where you could sell it to a non-Jew. Alternatively, he says that it could be a city that is populated with Jews. But he gives a huge heter, which is if you need the money and you can't find a Jewish person to sell your property to, then you're allowed to sell to a non-Jew, which is a huge heter, right? I mean, already that, you know. And then where you draw the line? Are they giving you a better price? Are you, you know? He actually says in his source, even, you know, he can't find a Jew to do it even for a lower price, okay? And then it's obviously where you draw the line about lower price and giving it away, you know. So that's another big heter. Okay, so now we get to, is it only the Sheva Amim, or is it all the Goyim, right? So then there's a whole debate, right? Many of the Rishonim actually say that there's no reason to be Mechalek. In other words, if it's the issue, you don't want non-Jews living among you, you know, for whether it be for political reasons, for assimilation reasons, for, you know, being influenced by them, fear of them. So it really should apply across the board, other than, which who's it not going to apply to? A ger toshav. Right? A ger toshav, you're actually commanded to sustain. So it wouldn't apply to a ger toshav, which is someone living among you who keeps the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Actually, I saw even, within that there's a machloket about, is it just someone who's a good non-Jew who, you know, has good values? Or do they have to be keeping the Sheva Mitzvot bi'ikarom? They want to keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And that's also a different out about saying maybe it doesn't even apply to them. Tosfos says it applies to everybody. Interestingly, the Sefer Eshkol and the Smag say that it's dafka pertaining to everyone who's not the Sheva Amim. Because the Sheva Amim, it already says, hacharem tacharimim. So you don't need to say v'lo tachanim. The lo tachanim must be referring to everybody else. Okay, not them. But even if you say it's referring to those who are not part of the Sheva Amim, is it only of Avodah Zarah? Or is it any non-Jews? Okay, so that's also a distinction that people make. By the way, the Torah Tmima basically wants to say, okay, right, he was living about 100 years ago. He, Rabbi Chaim Michal Epstein, he claims that this is just the Sheva Amim, in which case it's really no longer relevant. Even though he doesn't have a lot of Rishonim to rely on for this. Okay, then there's a bunch of cases like the Rashba says the whole issue of the matnat chinam, giving a gift for free, only which comes from lo techanim, only applies to akum and not to non-idol worshippers, which, you know, the Rambam says Muslims aren't idol worshippers, and I think I'm getting it right. The Dafka says they're, oh no, maybe he says, you know what, I forget what he says. But a bunch of people obviously say Muslims are monotheists and they're not akum and they're not in that category. And the question is, the Rashba who says that the matnat chinam is only akum, would he say the same thing for selling land? He doesn't actually say it explicitly, but there's a debate about what he would say. I'm sorry, the Rambam, I believe, does say it includes Muslims. The Muslims are included in akum, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, that he includes it in the Isur. So there's a debate about whether it's only Akum or not Akum. It's hard to give you the skira of everything, everybody. I'm kind of giving you a bunch of issues that come up. Then there's a whole question of, is this connected to Kedushat HaAretz or not? Is this Eretz Yisrael because of Kedushat HaAretz or not? Now, that's a huge relevant issue, because if it's connected to Kedushat HaAretz, so we no longer believe that there's Kedushat HaAretz. Right? Nowadays, remember, there's a whole debate. Was Kedushat Rishonah Kedusha L'Sha'ata or Kedusha forever? So Rav Kook says, based on this, he says, B'yameinu ein Kedushat HaAretz, and he drops the whole thing to an Isser D'Rabbanan. It's no longer Asur Midoraita, it's only Asur Midorabbanan, which then again, you know, Hef said you can come up with all sorts of reasons why one might matir. The Chazon Ish says that it doesn't have to do with Kedushat HaAretz, because he views the issue as bi'ur avodah zarah, getting rid of avodah zarah, and therefore he says it's still Midoraita. Of course, then it might only apply when you're talking about idol, you know, specific idol worship. Then they obviously raise the most important thing, which is, what if it's for security, political reasons, you know, giving land? Obviously, who defines what's politically needed or not is a whole debate. And one of the sources used there, which is very interesting, is Shlomo HaMelech gives Hiram, Melech Tzur, all this land in Israel. He gives him all these cities. So how could he give him cities? He obviously wanted to maintain good relations with him, and you see that for that purpose, it's allowed. So there you have, right? Now, one could say, well, maybe someone like Hiram, who helped build the Beit HaMikdash, yeah. Okay, but that's obviously a very important question, that maybe there's a heter for security or political reasons. Is there a difference if Jews are a majority or not? Is there an issue? This is another big issue. Rav Kook matired if the non-Jews are already living in Israel. In other words, if the issue is to keep out non-Jews, well, if they already have property in Israel, does giving them more property give them any more strength? Or is this issue, well, we don't want them here, but once they're here already, so what's the difference whether they have more land or less land? And therefore, he matired once non-Jews are living here, which obviously then, you know, changes a lot of the political issue, according to him, where he matirs. And then, like I said before, there was this issue possibly of financial loss that's an issue. So all these are very big issues that come up based on this, about whether, you know, you see number one, and as again, you see that people are selling property to non-Jews, so some of the, you know, people had to grapple with, well, this is another one of those situations where I'm not sure if they just read the Sugya plain, they would have come up to these conclusions, but once they see the people are doing things, they try to figure out, well, why are people doing things, right? The assumption often is that people are doing things that are wrong, not because they're doing things that are wrong, but because there actually is room for it, and then they try to find room for it. Sometimes they conclude, no, people are actually doing things wrong, and sometimes they try to find justifications, and here we found many justifications for why one could be selling land in Israel. Okay, or renting, you know, all these situations. Okay, again, there's a lot more to say on this topic. This is really just, you know, a little bit. Okay, now we go back to the Batei Merchatzaot. It was lucky that the daf was short. We had time to go in depth about this. Ubekomakom lo yiskor. You can't rent out a Beit Merchatz because the Beit Merchatz is called by the name of the owner. And therefore, when the non-Jews doing malacha, again, we're moving into a different issue now, when they're doing malacha like warming water on Shabbat, people will think that it's the owner, right? Even if he's not doing it himself, well, it's his Beit Merchatz. He's getting benefit from it, from malacha done on Shabbat. So, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Lo yiskor adam merchatzo la'ovei kochavim mipnei shenikra al shmo. Ve'ovei kochavim zeh oseh bo malacha b'shabbatot u'b'yamim tovim. So here you see Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says what we said, right? You can't rent your Beit Merchatz to an ovei kochavim because it's called in the name, not shmo is not the ovei kochavim, but it's called in the name of the original owner who's a Jew. And this ovei kochavim does malacha on Shabbatot and on Yamim Tovim. Okay, there we see more explicitly. It didn't say that all in the Mishnah. Aval likuti mai. So now the assumption is, since it says ovei kochavim, but it doesn't say kuti, what can we assume about a kuti? Share, right? But why would it be mutar? Now, what's the issue with the kuti? So the kuti, generally, right, the shomronim, they keep basic mitzvot, okay? They hold to the specifically to the written Torah, not the oral Torah. And they keep Shabbat and Yom Tov. But what don't they do? Kuti, imar avi b'melacha b'cholosh ha-moed. You might say on Chol HaMoed, the Kut is going to be doing malacha, and Jews are not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. So why would you allow him to rent it to a Kuti? Because on Chol HaMoed, people are going to say, oh, look, the guy's doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. So what do they answer? B'cholosh HaMoed, ana nami avdinan. We also do malacha on Chol HaMoed. Okay, this is a good example of the Chol HaMoed sugya in general is a very confusing sugya. What Isra Malacha is exactly. And how, right, Isra Malacha on Chol HaMoed is defined differently as Isra Malacha on Shabbat or Yom Tov. And here you see that there was clearly a bit of a debate about which things people did and which things didn't do. The point is that warming up water, right, nobody would think you can't warm up water on Chol HaMoed, right, to shower. So warming up water and things that you would do in a Beit Merchatz, so now, interestingly, right, we generally don't do, right, laundering is considered forbidden, and you would think that would be one of the basic melachot of a Beit Merchatz. So it's a good question, you know, what they're referring to here, but they basically say, B'chol HaMoed, we would also do melacha, and therefore it's not an issue for a kuti, and that's why it's not a issue for a kuti. Aval sadehu la'ove kochavim mai share. Right, but according to this, what does it say? You can't rent your Beit Merchatz to an Ovei Kochavim, but it sounds like you could rent your field to an Ovei Kochavim, and you wouldn't be worried that people will say, oh, look, so-and-so's field is working on Shabbat, right? So-and-so, someone's doing work for that guy on Shabbat. My time, what's the reason? So why would Sadeu be Mutar? Arisa arisute kavid. Because the assumption is if I have a field, so often I have sharecroppers. What does that mean? They get a certain percentage for whatever they do, which means if they're free, if they decide to do their work in the fields on Shabbat, they can decide to do that because they're getting, it's for themselves really, because they're getting a percentage of it. So they can choose to do it there. Just like if I bring my laundry to a dry cleaners and I bring it on Friday morning and I want to pick it up Sunday morning. So since, in theory, they could wash the clothes Friday morning, okay, but if they decide to wash it on Shabbat, that's their issue, right? Again, assuming they're non-Jewish. So likewise here, if he's working in my field and he decides to do the work on Shabbat, it doesn't matter. So if people see somebody working on my field on Shabbat, they'll say, oh, he's just a sharecropper. So if that's the case, merchatz nami amre arisa risute kavi. Why can't we say the same thing by a merchatz? We can say that the guy who's in my bathhouse must be an aris, like a type of, you know, it's not a sharecropper, but it's like a, right, that he's working in my, you know, he's getting a percentage of the proceeds and he's doing his work on Shabbat. So what are the answer? Arisa de merchatz lo avirinche. People don't generally have arisim in their brate merchatz. And therefore, generally, in other words, if somebody sees non-Jewish workers in a Beit Merchatz, they're going to assume that they're non-Jewish workers who are working for the Jew. That's generally a Jew would own a Beit Merchatz. And then he would have people working for him. He wouldn't necessarily have people who have, you know, partnerships with them. They have percentage of the profits. That's just the way it went. Based on this, l'halacha, he would say that if, okay, and I forget who I saw this paskin in the name of, but they said that if, in fact, people, you know, this is obviously based on Minhag HaMakom. And if things change, it all depends on Minhag HaMakom. If generally you do have people who share part of the profits, then it's not an issue. If they're, you know, have an arrangement like an Aris, then they can do the work on Shabbat and gain the profits from there. And that's, you know, it's their issue and you'd be allowed to rent it to them and you wouldn't have to worry about Marat Ayin. Okay, so it would only be in particular situations. Okay, we'll start this. This is going to continue into tomorrow's daf, but we'll stop, even though it's a little bit mid-issue, but we'll first read this brayta, and then tomorrow we're going to build on it more. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, lo yaskir adam sadehu lekuti, you can't rent out your field to a kuti, mipnei shenikret al shmo, vekuti zeh oseh b'melacha b'cholosh HaMoed. Okay, so you can't rent out your field to a kuti because your field is called in your name, and the kuti will do melacha on Chol HaMoed, which you're not allowed to do, and it'll look like, you know, people will think you're working your field on Shabbat, on Chol HaMoed. So now, what can we infer from here? Aval Ovei Kochavim, my share? Right? What about an Ovei Kochavim? It sounds like an Ovei Kochavim, you can rent out your field. So they say, yeah, da'amre arisa arisute avid. So they say, Ihachi kutinami amre arisa risute avid. In other words, why is it allowed to the non-Jew? Because people will say it's just a sharecropper. So why won't people assume that the kuti is a sharecropper? Right? We should also be able to make that same claim. So the Gemara says here, and we'll finish simply with this answer, even though it continues, arisute the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar lately. He doesn't hold by this arisute. Okay? So then we're going to have to figure out why the Yovei Kochavim. I would go on, but tomorrow's stuff isn't so long either. So we'll stop here for today. Anyway, it's actually a really, the next line is a really interesting line. So stay tuned for tomorrow.